This is John Little from DFW's only all-news morning show, the KRLD Morning News. Keep listening. We'll tell you the top three things you need to know every 15 minutes.
And you can count on us for any severe weather information, breaking news, or traffic red alerts immediately when they happen.
Now, the mid-morning mic check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
And here we go. It's the 5th of August, Wednesday morning, your mid-morning mic check. Mike and Austin with you. And you're a big part of the show, too, at 945-766-1080. Anything that's on your mind, you can give us a holler, and we'll get that on. Odyssey app, too. You can leave voice messages. We've got that.
I always prefer that because we can hear you better.
It's better sound quality, and it's so easy. You just you log into the app.
And hit that microphone at the top there.
That little microphone, hit that, leave a message, and we'll get it.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. And I'm sitting here this morning, once again, with a guy who interviewed a cabinet member earlier.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Came in earlier and talked to HUD Secretary. I know, right? Like, it's just,
just another day in the newsroom, baby.
HUD Secretary Scott Turner. You got a chance to talk with him earlier. And
yeah, he had some interesting stuff that they're doing, especially with public-private partnerships and how they're trying to bring down the price of housing across the state and across the country, really.
So we'll get into that. I don't know. We may play a little bit of that tomorrow, maybe today. We've got so much on our plate today.
Better to have too much than too little, right?
It is. A lot of good stuff. Got a good show coming up for you. We're going to start, though, with some angry residents in Tarrant County making their voices heard yesterday in a couple of different public hearings.
Boy, I covered this one.
Tarrant County Commissioners monthly meeting yesterday, overtaken by people angry about a proposed cut in the number of voting locations this November.
What?
An arrest.
Pick him up.
Removals.
Move him immediately from the room.
And a hallway protest. Dozens of neighbors packed Tarrant County Commissioners Court to voice their concerns over a proposal to slash polling locations from 316 to 176 on midterm election day this year.
America is the right to vote. It is wrong to suppress that. You're on the wrong side of history. You're dishonoring what it means to be an American. And more than that, you're losing your humanity.
A state rep also speaking against the cut, a roughly 44% decrease compared to 2024's constitutional amendment election.
Seems illogical, and our democracy is worth every penny that it costs.
County Judge Tim O'Hare saying even he was surprised by the number.
I'm not comfortable with 176 election sites. Found out this number, I want to say it was Thursday or Friday. I'm not okay with it. Never would have been okay with it. Not okay with it now. I think that's way too large a cut.
Elections Administrator Clint Ludwig says he didn't talk to any of the elected officials prior to the meeting.
It was simply, what do we need? How do we go above and beyond that? Does that fit into creating an even distribution? If the math had come out and said we needed 440, I would be standing here saying we needed 440.
Well, he's saying, and what most supporters of this are saying, that it's all about cost cutting.
This is, to me, the most ridiculous thing. Everyone was screaming and mad, and all the commissioners agreed. Yeah, that's way too low, buddy.
Even, you heard, Tim O'Hare himself. Even Tim O'Hare.
They were screaming, you're losing your humanity. He's like, no, you're right. It's
saying,
too low.
No, it's too low, but the debate turned ugly anyway.
You keep telling us not to California, my Texas, while in reality, you keep Russia, my Texas. You three boys from the GOP.
Right, hang on. That's it. We're going to clear the entire chambers now. You'll get your 10 seconds left. I told you how it was going to go, so we're in recess until the chambers are cleared. Okay. Take that one. Remove him from the building. Remove him.
And again, that was Tim O'Hare giving the boot to former State Representative Lon Burnham, who was...
Yeah, he started singing on his way out.
Right. We know that we don't care about basic human rights.
I've asked
any
you
of
set
them
the microphone down. Please remove him. We will go into recess because you're disrupting the meeting again.
Now, at that point, four sheriff's deputies entered the room. Burnham laid down on the floor in protest. They had to literally pick him up and carry him out of the room.
Is it necessary to arrest him?
I mean, he just picked him. One deputy had one foot, another one had another foot, each hand, and they just
you talk about
carried him out of the room, and then that's when the chanting started.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, Tiny Tim has got to go! Hey, hey, ho, ho, Tiny Tim!
Tiny Tim has got to go. So, but again,
such theatrics.
Tim O'Hare himself saying, you know, and this isn't, and we may get to do this all over again because at the end of the day, commissioners,
they just shelved it.
They shelved. They delayed a decision until their meeting next month.
I think they were upset with the commissioner, elections commissioner, because or the elections official, because they said, look, you didn't run these numbers by us beforehand, and if he had, we could have avoided all of this. And what O'Hare was trying to do, if you watch that meeting, it was ridiculous. People were just screaming the whole time. He was trying to get order. Nobody was listening, and they made this some kind of big case.
Did you notice that elections official you mentioned, he sounded real nervous.
Well, that's right.
Kind of shaky when they called him on the carpet.
When all of the commissioners are against you, why didn't you tell us about this beforehand? Well, I was just doing the math and so on and such. So it looks like they're going to come back in September, from what I remember. I think it was September, the first meeting in September.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have a new number, hopefully.
But they almost, under this proposal, it would have almost cut it in half. That is kind of drastic.
Yeah, so that's a bit. I think the idea behind all of this was that there are a lot of these polling places that are just not being used, and it's hard to staff all of these. So if we can combine them and make that number less. But as you mentioned, more than half? Uh-oh. That's a little much.
That's a bunch. Then there's the city of Westlake. They are moving forward with plans for a new data center. Uh-oh. But a lot of residents not happy about that, and they packed town hall last night to voice their concerns.
No one is against your progress, but please consider your neighbors.
You know, taking my kids to the local pond Saturday morning is no longer going to be a quiet, special experience in nature.
Once these things are operational, there's a 24/7 hum and a screeching sound. You feel it in your bones. You can feel the vibrations in your homes. Why do you want that for us?
Now, representative for the real estate developer behind the project was also there, hopelessly outnumbered. He tried to quiet the mob.
We really acknowledge some of the major corporate headquarter neighbors like Deloitte and Charles Schwab and some of them. And so we wanted to take a nod from that and really be considerate of all our neighbors around us.
Now, that comment was literally met with laughter from the crowd. Governor Abbott, meanwhile, he is still distancing himself from the data centers.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott, whose state is home to the second highest number of data centers in the country, has halted new data center projects until the state can assess the impact they'll have on its electrical grid and ensuring a reliable water supply. Abbott's order is the latest move as Americans' opposition to data centers being constructed in or near their community grows, having jumped more than 20 points since December. That's according to polling from News Nation parent company Nexstar. Many fearing higher electricity prices, lower property values, and exorbitant water use. Texas isn't alone in trying to pump the brakes. States across the country passing legislation to rein in data center development. Despite this, data center construction continues to swell nationwide, fueled in part by growing artificial intelligence.
As News Nation's Washington Bureau Chief Mike Vicara. I'll say this, the data centers, we talk a lot about how much water they use, how much electricity they use, but that woman's point,
the hum,
they make a lot of noise, these things. That's why they want to put them out in the country.
Yeah, I understand, and I did think, again, with all of these things, you're going to have to put them somewhere, and if you put them out in the country, in the rural areas, you're taking up what many in Texas would say, resources for the farmers and so on and such. If you put them in downtown, like we're trying to do in Dallas, they have more resources here, but again, you're talking about loud noises, and in a city, maybe that just, I don't know, blends in with city noise. I don't know.
Exactly. I mean, they're talking about Market Hall.
Yeah,
in
Market
Dallas,
Hall.
Turning that into a big data center. There's so much noise down there already, maybe you wouldn't notice.
Maybe that's the way to go. Put these things in major cities, but then you're talking about that. You're talking about a lot of money for the land in these major cities. I don't know if these data centers would want to purchase them. Why do they go Texas? It's so much land, and it's relatively cheap.
Yeah.
That's why they're choosing
it. We want to come here. All right, when we come back, off to Oxnard we go. Got a new accessory for the Cowboys in Oxnard, or the wide receivers, anyway.
I saw that. I thought it's kind of interesting.
Even they got these, it's like mosquito netting over their heads. Interesting. We got Brian brought us in, and we'll check in with him next as the Mid-Morning Mic Check continues.
A deep dive into the day's top stories, weekdays from 10 to noon. This is the Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's time for our daily Cowboys training camp update out in Oxnard, California. Off we go to Brian Broaddus, our Cowboys insider, 105.3 The Fan. He's been with us every day, and he joins us again right now. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are we doing?
Excellent.
Hey, we're doing great. Big news out of camp. I guess left tackle is set, right?
Yeah, It looks like to me that what they're going to try and do, nobody's really trying to compete very much for, well, let me put it this way. Guyton has done a really nice job. It hasn't been anything that Guyton has. I mean, going into camp at the competition might not have been, I know there's several shows that I've done, several platforms I've been on where we felt like the competition at middle linebacker was probably more than was at left tackle. I know there were questions about, you know, about Guyton going forward and all that, but Guyton has had a really good 7-8 days of practice. You know, and so, but I'll also say this, there's nobody that stepped up behind Guyton and is pushing him for a job right now. So, you know, that kind of is how several of us thought that might work out. It just could, you know, Nate Thomas and Shelton and those guys step up and at least show that they, you know, that they're going to be competitive, but they just haven't been that competitive right now. But that's no slight at Guyton. Guyton's done everything that he's needed to do to be this guy. He's actually, if you had to look at the five, he's playing better right now than what Steele is, and that's no disrespect to Steele. There's been times in practice where Steele is kind of who he is, and you know, Guyton has just been better.
Let me ask you this, and this is always the debate, and it seemed like Shoddy kind of settled it for everybody. No starters are going to be playing in preseason games. At least there's four different groups, and it sounds like most of the major starters not going to be playing in preseason games. Where do you fall in on this?
Well, you know, there's a couple different ways to look at this. As a former person guy, I always told my coaches, listen, if you want to play these guys in the preseason, just know that if we lose a starter, that we're probably not going to be able to replace that guy. So just be mindful of that. If you want to, you know, but I also am from the school of, I believe in getting work. Now, the way you combat this, though, is you have these joint practices. You go work against the Rams. You go work against the Saints. Where you can control the practice. You can say, okay, we're working on red zone. Okay, we're working on the short yardage here. We're going to work on in the field, move the ball situations. You know, you can control the practice that way, and you can also keep your quarterback from getting hit, you know, which is another thing. Yeah, you can have potential injuries, but you could control the pace of the practice a little bit better, and you can get your starters work that way. Dak Prescott will get a lot of work when he works against the Rams and when he works against the Saints, you know. So if you tell me you can combat having, you know, games in the preseason and not having to expose my starters, I'm okay with that as long as we're working against other teams during training camp where I can get an evaluation and kind of get my guys some work. So there's a couple of different ways of looking. There's some coaches still actually play their starters into the preseason games. I know, Andy Reid with
Kansas City. Yeah.
There's times you see Pat Mahomes and those guys lining it up, preseason game. So there's a lot of different ways to do this. But if you tell me that I could practice against somebody else and control the reps that way and the pace of the practice, I'm totally okay with that.
Here's the easy solution. Just make preseason games flag football, right?
That's right. No injuries.
Yeah. Well, it's tough. I'm going to tell you this, guys. You do these preseason games, you hold your breath every
day. Yes. Oh, yeah.
And you just, when you're tired, I remember walking across the field and talking to buddies and coaches and, you know, scout friends. I'm saying, let's just make sure that these guys get up after every single play. Every place, everybody get up. Let's not see Britt Brown and Jim Maurer out there running on the field. Dr. Cooper and those guys running on the field. No, we don't need to see that in the preseason at all.
And I got to ask you this before we let you go, Brian. We've seen these pictures and these videos back here at home of wide receivers at camp with this weird looking this mosquito netting that they put on their helmets. What's going on there?
Well, actually, the weirdest one I've ever seen in my life. And mosquito netting, at least you could see through the netting. There was a coach here at one time during the Bill Parcells administration named Mike Pope. And Mike Pope, when we were out here practicing, he had his tight ends sit in a porta-john. And so, you know, those porta-johns that you have at like concerts and stuff like that? So Coach Pope had a tight end sit there with the door closed. And then what they did is they had a jugs machine about 10 yards away. And so what they would do is that the tight end would sit in there and then they'd open the door and fire the ball. And so you had to catch the ball in the porta-john when the door was swinging. throwing an open. And you talk about
a tight window, yeah.
With the ball bouncing all over the damn place was hilarious. But Pope came up with a lot. He used to have guys dunk their heads in like big buckets of water. And then so you would duck your head in the water, you would come up, and then they would shoot a ball at you. And it was like you were trying, your face is wet, your eyes are covered with water. So it was how to catch a ball in all kinds of
extreme situations.
So, wow, yeah, you know.
So this mosquito netting is actually, it's got nothing on what Mike Pope did.
I was going to say, this is not, in terms of getting those reflexes ready, this is easy. Although I noticed George Pickens wasn't having it, though. I think they threw one ball at him and he missed it and took the thing off.
Yeah, George doesn't need the mosquito netting. George has got this ability to, he can put his hands up extremely late. We were talking about this with him on 105.3 yesterday, his ability to, like, track a ball and then put his hands up at the absolute last moment to be able to get it. So, yeah, George didn't need the mosquito netting. CeeDee looked good with the mosquito netting, but George, not so much.
Ryan, thanks again. As always, we really appreciate it, and we'll check in with you again tomorrow. Ryan brought us.
That's why we call him with all those old stories, all the 411.
I had not heard the porta potty one. That's a pretty good
crazy
one.
To think about it. All right. You know a ball when that door opens,
and you
know a ball is coming straight at you. And if anyone doesn't know the jugs machine, it's kind of like a fast pitch machine for baseball and or a batting cage, and this thing is coming out at you pretty fast.
Got to have good reflexes.
Absolutely.
When we come back, country music taking over the charts in a way we've never seen before, and that's no exaggeration.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
All right, 945-766-1080, the K-Post Roofing text line. Let us hear from you as we roll along this Wednesday afternoon. Today is National Underwear Day.
Oh, my gosh.
Boxers, briefs, or neither.
You going commando?
I'm not saying.
I know it's too hot to do that.
Today's
you can't go commando or too hot. You can't wear white pants either on a day like this.
It's a little too sweaty down there.
I would say like this, if you're a guy wearing white pants, I mean, you've got to be really comfortable with it, really confident in yourself.
Uh-huh.
You're looking at the day quite optimistically. Nothing's going to happen. Everything's going to go smoothly.
Many times it doesn't.
No.
Today's National Work Like a Dog Day. That's every day around here.
That's like the Beatles song.
And it is National Oyster Day.
Okay.
Iron Balls is all over that.
The original aphrodisiac, huh?
Says, I love them, but I can't eat them this month. I didn't know what that meant, so I looked it up. Apparently, you're not supposed to eat oysters in any month that does not have an R in it. So that would be May, June, July, and August. And this has to do with the time before refrigeration when the heat of the summer would cause seafood to spoil.
That's a Louisiana thing, man.
It must be. But now you know.
Those guys, they have all their little beliefs and so on, theories, mama's home cooking recipes.
And that one.
Yeah, and that one.
Don't eat oysters in a month that doesn't have an R. Remember that. Well, a part of music history to tell you about this morning, and it is happening as we speak. We are living it. Something that had never happened before is happening now. The top five songs on the Billboard Hot 100 are all from the genre of country music.
Okay, and when we looked at this, some of them are a little controversial because I don't necessarily know if I would put them in, but I will ask you, other than number one, had you heard any of these?
A couple of them. Okay. I mean, definitely number one. We'll go through them here. This first time this has ever happened. Number five.
Ever? That's what's crazy to me. I thought there was a country revolution at some point.
There had to have been, but apparently not. Number five on this. This is by a singer-songwriter from Chicago who got her start on TikTok. This is Stella Lefty with Boston. Number five in the country. Okay.
A country song about Boston. And she's from Chicago. And her, by the way, Lefty is a shorter version of her last name, which is Lefkowski or something.
Lefkowski or something.
And I looked it up. Her dad is a billionaire.
Oh, really?
He's a very wealthy man.
Okay.
Well, he's worth something like $4.5 billion.
That helps breaking into the music business, doesn't it? Number four is a duet between two singers. Coming up on this list is solo artists. It's Ella Langley and Morgan Wallen.
Bad. I like like this.
I like this song.
This is, to me, this is pretty good. Better than 3 and 2, I think.
Number three now, this is the one that we had to discuss a little bit. It comes from the movie Toy Story 5, and it is Taylor Swift.
She's going to country, huh?
Going back to her country roots.
I remembered I loved you. Came back when it mattered. I saw you standing there in the light of the window, wearing that same smile. Man, it's been a while, but I knew it, I knew you.
Maybe it's her harmonica.
I knew it, I knew you is the name of the song. I like it. All right,
it's not bad.
No, is it pure country?
No,
maybe not.
I wouldn't even put it in the top five, but it's Taylor Swift, so it's going to be in the top.
You know what? I would put this as a country pop. How about that?
All right,
that brings us to number two. This is Morgan Wallen, all by himself.
This guy's got so many hits.
If it was meant to be.
This is like the country countdown, and all of these songs are in the top five of the Hot 100.
You a Morgan Wallen fan?
I like Morgan Wallen.
Yeah. I do, too. I'd go to his concert because, I mean, you know all the songs. I mean, they're all over the charts.
He's good. And in number one now, this is for the 16th straight week. You know what this one is.
Oh, my gosh.
16 straight weeks at number one is getting very close to the all-time record. It's back to Ella Lang Lake.
It doesn't take.
Ella Langley from Hope Hull, Alabama.
She's having one hell of a summer, ain't she?
Texas, I can tell.
She's in Texas. That is still the number one song in the country, but the four behind it, all country music, man.
All right, so she's got that one, number one, and then she's got the number four with Morgan Wallen, who has the number two song, and he's got the number four song.
Uh-huh.
So it's crazy, man. Country is, I thought in the 90s it went through its huge boom when Garth Brooks sold more albums in the 90s than anyone else, so I thought, well, it had to have been done then.
I would argue maybe just a little decline.
Oh, yeah.
But
absolutely.
Hot
now
again.
It's back. It's back, baby.
Hot again, baby. Coming up on KRLD. You ever fallen asleep at work? We all have at one
I'm
time.
I'm going to pull the Fauci. I plead the fifth. F-I-F. Listen,
if you're in broadcasting and you're on the air at the time, that is a little difficult to do. But we're going to introduce you to someone who managed to pull it off this week.
Okay.
And she's in TV. That story's coming up.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
So have you ever fallen asleep at work? Perhaps. Probably. I think most of us have.
You know, you get a little tired and you close your eyes just to rest them a bit. That's it. Nothing wrong with that.
But I'll bet you the whole city wasn't watching when you did it.
No.
Unless you're Dominique Dillon, a news anchor at WHBQ Television in Memphis. This week, she fell asleep on the air. Happened at the end of a live shot one of the station's reporters was out in the field doing a live shot. She tossed it back to the studio. They switched it back to Dominique.
Running 465 miles in a matter of days to make all of this happen.
Hello.
Oh my gosh.
Hello.
That's what was she doing the night before? Partying?
No, you're going to find out. It was definitely not partying. That was a lot of dead air, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the whole time she was on screen, had her chin in her hands, eyes closed, snoozing away until she finally woke up.
Let's turn to the forecast. We have a heat advisory this morning, but meteorologist Brittany DeBose, she shares more.
You look like a perfect little angel taking a little nap. All right, so I'll
talk. All right, and then her co-anchor piled on.
Sleeping beauty over here. It is time for Sunshine Snaps. We love your photos that you send in.
Yeah, this one is from Jamara. Wow. Look at her in Florida.
That's nice. Kind of makes you want to take a nap.
Oh, boy. Come on now.
I wasn't napping. There's something in my eye. Obviously.
Now, the video of this has gone viral, of course, with so many comments and so many hits. Dominique got an invitation to be on the Today Show this morning and explain what happened.
Okay, so the night before, my husband, he worked a double at BNSF Railway. I have a 2-year-old. I have an 8-month-old.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get them down to sleep at 8 o'clock, but my 8-month-old, she wasn't having it. Next thing you know, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock before I can actually get her down to sleep. And then all I have is a couple of hours of rest before I have to be up in the morning and be at work.
Well, at what point in that video did you realize,
I'm asleep on live TV.
When my meteorologist, Brittany DeBose, whispered my name from across the room. Yeah.
Hey, I mean, where's the control room in this moment?
Like, they're there, but they didn't think I was sleeping. They thought I was simply looking down at my tablet. Yeah, because who falls asleep in 1 minute sitting up in front of cameras?
Well, I'm glad the meteorologist had the wherewithal
to
help.
Hey, wake up.
She might still be sleeping otherwise.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever met somebody who can just fall asleep instantaneously?
Yeah.
I mean, just the moment notice, they're just out.
It's like narcolepsy.
I have no idea how people do it, but I've seen people that have been able to. It does on a plane when it's loud. It doesn't matter. They just go to sleep.
I've got a collection of KRLD staffers over the years who just passed out in their chair, including me.
Out. Yeah, well.
Someone got a shot of me once.
There you go.
All right. We're going to take a break here. Coming back after the top of the hour, we're going to hear from a 10-year-old boy from North Texas saved by a lifeguard in Southern California. They're good friends now, as you would imagine. That's coming up.